You don't have to be positive all the time. It's perfectly okay to feel sad, angry, annoyed, frustrated, scared, and anxious. Having feelings doesn't make you a negative person. It doesn't even make you weak. It makes you human. And we are here to talk through it all. We welcome you to These Fucking Feelings Podcast, a safe space for all who needs it. Grab a drink and take a seat. The session begins now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to These Fucking Feelings Podcast. I am Micah. I got my girl Crystal over here in the studio with me, taking up the co-host chair because Rebecca is in California. So she keeps leaving us, and it's very, very horrible. So and our guest for today is it Hamida?
Hamida.
Sorry about that. Hamida.
Okay.
And Hamida, one thing we like to do is we ask our guests to introduce themselves because no one can do it quite like you. So tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for having me. My name is Hamida. For my profession, I've been a mental health nurse for the past 4 years, a nurse 5 years total. And I've always been into psychology. So I went the mental health nurse route. What I'm working on is called Hobby. And basically what it is, it's we show you how to make your hobbies a form of therapy. So like, let's say, for example, you're into art, you get introduced to an art therapist. If you're into dance therapy, writing, journaling, stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, and what made you come up with this idea? Well, number one, I guess, what made you go into the mental health field? I guess that'd be the first question.
Yeah. I've always been really into it, especially in high school. Like, I took psychology as an elective, and it was like, wow, it's actually pretty interesting. And also, I guess every teenager goes through this phase where they're not really having the best time in school, you know? Right. Like, we don't have, the best mental health of your life in high school. Nobody does. I mean, some people do, but, you know, it's not for everybody. That's where I got the little connection there. So when I was applying to colleges, I was applying for both psychology and nursing. So my mom was like, you know what? You should do nursing because what if you get there and you don't like psych after you go into 4 years just for psych? Just do nursing, right. A very general thing. So that's how I got started into it.
Okay, I always wanted to be a nurse, but I don't think I had patience with I don't think I would have patience with patients.
Yeah.
Honestly, you can take the damn medicine.
And honestly, for psych, you have to have a lot of patience because sometimes people test your patients a lot.
And then you got to think about. Sorry, go ahead.
Just wondering, what does being a psych nurse look like? I mean, I know what a nurse looks like, but what does a day in that look like?
Yeah. I'm going to give a little rundown of how my average day goes. Right now I'm working the ED. So it's a little bit different than when you work inpatient. So, I mean, you go into work and you have to, right off the bat, have thick skin. And not take things personally, because you will get abused. Not physically, then probably verbal abuse. So you have to be ready for that, because you're dealing with people who are at their worst of the worst. Like, for example, people come in schizophrenic episodes, you know, they believe we put microphones in their body, listening to their thoughts and stuff like that. Or someone wants to kill themselves, or we get someone who's homeless, you know, a lot of different people come in at their worst. So don't take it personally if someone calls an ugly bitch or a lot of things. People come up with some very, very creative insults. You'll be shocked.
Wow.
But other than that, come in with your compassion too, you know, don't just come in with a thick skin, because you have to have care for who you're taking care of, you know, you have to understand or try to understand where they're coming from. And try to solve their need in that moment, make them feel safe and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it sounds like you just gave like instructions for life. Like, have thick skin, but also be compassionate, you know? For yourself and for others.
Yeah,
and it's crazy because I didn't realize how dangerous nursing was. Like, from the outside world, like, nurses get attacked all the time or, you know, victimized and those kind of things. My sister is a nurse and she's been doing it. She did it in the military. Now she does it as a civilian. And she's actually, like, the rape trauma specialist in her area.
So she
goes around. So anytime someone has, like, a rape, she lives in North Carolina, so it's, like, really small. So they have, like, one rape specialist for all of that area. And it's her. She has to come in and do the rape kits. And to me, I'd be like, the hardest thing for me is every time you have to get the consent, you know, like, I think that'll be hard. You know, like, I'm about to do that now. Is this okay? I'm about to do this now. Is this okay? And it's like, I get why you want to do it, but it still seems a little difficult. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you had to deal with somebody who was just assaulted?
Luckily, I haven't, because I've been working mostly inpatient. But where I work in the ED, there actually is a sexual assault nurse, and she deals with that. And sometimes it can be tough too. I mean, you always offer it, you know. Like, we got a patient one time who was obviously assaulted, you know, because the signs were there, but she refused the kit, you know. So, like, I mean, what can you do?
But
So you're like the first responder, like they go to you and then you seek out for therapy for them when they get out on the outside.
So, again, like I said, I'm specialized in psych. So even if I work in the ED, sometimes I'm the first responder if they're like strictly a psych patient. But how it works right now is a patient comes in and they go like into a triage. So that's really like, they're sent to, like, we see how critical they are and what they come in for. So usually if it's like sexual assault, then they get sent to a medical nurse, and then they get assigned an SA nurse.
And I guess sometimes you don't realize that a person is at a psychotic break into the middle of, like, you know, like, you're not really pregnant. Well, the reason I broke that up, because I have a friend of mine, sister, who actually just went into a mental institution because she was saying she was pregnant, and they kept doing pregnancy tests, and they're like, no, you're not pregnant. But come to find out, she actually had like some kind of tumor that was not only messing with her like body, but also her brain to make her think she was pregnant. It was really, really weird. The sad part is she ended up dying a few days ago. Because the hospital sent her home without giving her any real treatment. You know, they were like, hey, you need to go follow up with your primary care. And yeah, she passed away a couple days ago. But I think that's why what you do is probably so important, so that things like that don't happen.
Has
there been instances where some of those patients that you may see come across your path there end up becoming like people you see through your hobby? Help, assistance with your hobby aspect of things.
It's good. I would say, because and it would be, on my part, I feel like it would be a conflict of interest, like where I'm working, and then be like, you know what, come to my app, you know. People usually who come in the ED are like in dire need of very professional help. And what my app focuses on is like someone who is needing support, you know. So for example, my app is not going to replace a professional, like traditional psychotherapist. It's to be used with that person.
Got you. It's like an enhancement tool. So now I know the website is gethobby.com, right? Is it the same for the app? Is it just Get Hobby?
So the app itself is just called Hobby.
hobby, and it's HOBI, just for the audience. Yeah. Now, what? How did the idea come up for this app?
Yeah, so actually, it's a funny story. So, actually, not really. I don't know. Whatever. So, I was trying to learn how to hula hoop. That's how it all started.
Okay.
And I go to Google and I Google how to hula hoop. So I watch a couple of videos. And I'm like, oh, you know what? This is fun. But then I keep getting stuck in different like tricks and stuff. And I was like, damn, I wish someone could teach me how to do this in real life, because this sucks doing this online. So I went to Google and Google like hula hooping schools near me. And I found a circus school in Somerville, and they were charging $80 an hour. I was like, wow, that's kind of pricey, you know, like it's kind of like up there. So I was like, I knew like someone in Boston or like around me knew how to hula hoop. And right. Even if I'm like a professional hula hooping teacher, they could teach me the basics at least, you know? So mm-hmm. That's where the idea came from, like kind of like an Uber, but for skills, you know, like someone who knows something, like can teach you just the basics. Yeah. But I worked on that idea for like 2 years to go from like idea stage to like final product. And it was out on the market, and we kept getting a lot of mental health focused people joining the app, like other mental health groups. So I was like, you know what? I will go down that avenue. So I started getting a couple life coaches on the app. And then from there, I was advised by a lot of people like, hey, you need to niche down.
You froze on us.
Huh? Oh, am I back? No. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, there we hear you now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Sorry about that. I was a bit worried.
Yeah, so the last part we got was the final stage, how you went from, you know, in 2 years, it went to the final stage, and then you cut out. So I don't know how much talking you did, girl, but I'm going to need you to repeat it.
Yeah, and no, it's okay. I can, yeah, I don't mind doing it. Yeah, so, yeah, I was talking about how we're getting mostly mental health focused. Probably was right. Because I'm a mental health nurse, so I focused more on mental health topics in the app anyway. Right. So I got a lot of that crowd. But yeah, long story short, about 3.5 months ago, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go full swing into mental health. Like I'll just niche it. It'll be like a mental health thing, because I, as a founder, I had a mental crash where I was literally so stressed and so tired because right. I don't know, I wasn't passionate about skill sharing. Right. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do mental health, cause that's what I like to do. So even if it doesn't work out, I'm literally doing what I enjoy. So that's right. Why I went like full swing, like make your hobbies therapy.
Yeah. Well, I'm over here tripping over the fact that there is a hula hoop school.
It wasn't like a hula hoop school. It was like a circus school.
Right.
But they
right.
have like all types of stuff.
There. Yeah. But now I'm over here thinking about how many things I want to learn to do that I probably could learn to do because it's out there for me. I want a hula hoop now. It's all in the hips. All in the hips.
Go for it.
Hey, may me help my mental health.
I'm sure.
So, yeah. So I think the thing that's pretty cool about your app is that it uses everyday things that people do anyway, and it teaches them how to use it for different coping skills, basically, right?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, but right now we're like not very big. It's very small. And I don't have like a lot of hobbies to offer. So like right now I focus more on like writing, writing, music and art and dance.
Yeah. Now, are you looking for people to come and like professionals to come and teach and offer classes or do those things on your app? Like, are you looking for people or yes, is I it am. A different? You are? Okay, cool. So if you're watching, she's looking for people. Let's get some professionals to her.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really dope. It's sometimes you never realize how just dealing with the simplest, smallest thing can kind of change who you are, period. You know? Yeah. So it's like, you know, because, you know, you think about, you go to therapy and it is a traditional sense of therapy. And we sit here for 45 minutes and I say what I got to say. And then you kick me out because my 45 minutes is over. But I'm still not done saying what I got to say. So you mean I just got to go home with these feelings? This is where I feel like your app could come in handy, you know, because it's like, yeah, I still need to release a little more. Let me go ahead and get on hobby. Write this book about this professional who kicked me out after 45 minutes.
You know, I just wanted that you say that because when I used to host like peer sessions, like I met a couple people who were like, you know what? I literally pay a therapist. I know I take that back. I have to be careful what I say here. But her specific therapist, anyways, she was saying that I pay all this money and it wasn't like, helping her very much, but she feels like she's the type of person who, and this was during like a group journaling session, so where we journal together and like refer to what we wrote and stuff like that. She was like, this works for me, like where I actually process things and like plan out my week with somebody and a couple people, like where like you have like accountability as well. You know, like a support group and someone to like keep you accountable. Oh, you said that this week you're going to go out and go for a walk. Like, what happened? You know, like, I mean, not like a police officer, like what happened? You know, you have to do this, you know, but like as someone to like, I don't know, just be there. You know?
Right. Yeah. And that's all a support system. It's finding a support system, which, and really a place to feel safe. You know, that's where it really all comes down to. You know, if I feel safe, then I can release myself. Yeah, I feel like, traditional therapy is getting a bad name because all everybody wants to do is prescribe medicine. And where that does work for some people, it's like, how can you tell me off a 15-minute conversation that I got to take 13 different drugs?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you came in and you saw me for 5 minutes and now, you know, I'm on Zoloft and Klonopin. And
well, with my therapy, I don't get my drugs from my therapist. Actually, she's not one to do that, but the one who does do the prescribing of the drugs is actually the doctor, my regular care doctor. So
your primary care doctor.
Yeah, so sometimes it's the therapist is just willing to listen and doesn't want to push the drugs. So I don't know. So
I think that's why it's important to keep looking, because there's somebody out there for you. There's someone out there to help you with your mental health issues. You know, kind of like, you know, mine and your experience was too different. You know, it was like I had a therapist tell me one time that everything I ever went through in life was my fault. I was 16. And I was paralyzed from the neck down because I had Guillain-Barré syndrome. I don't know if you ever heard of it. And he can't, and they, you know, the hospital sends around probably, you know, someone in your profession, you know, it's like someone in the hospital and they just feel like, okay, he's a 16-year-old. He's paralyzed from the neck down. Let's send a therapist in to go see him. And the first thing the dude told me was that you're here because you put yourself here. I'm like, bro, you lucky I'm paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh my gosh.
Like, this is about to be a whole different conversation, you know?
Crazy.
So let's talk about some of the things that we can do on hobby. So I know you said journaling. So how does that work?
Wait, I'm sorry. Just repeat your question one more time.
The journaling, like I was trying to go into the different classes you're offering right now, or courses that you're offering right now on hobby. You said journaling is one of them. So is it everybody's on the same topic, or you write about what you write about, or how do you construct that?
Oh yeah. It goes like according to whoever is hosting like the session. So usually there's like prompts put up, you know, like, well, anyway, like first you enter the class, you introduce yourself, if you're comfortable, you know, you can put your camera on or off, really up to you. And then from there, the group facilitator will share the prompts that they're going to go through for the session. And then from there, you go through each prompt individually, like with a couple minutes first for you to write out the answers, like you reflect them right on a piece of paper or like right. a journal. And then after that, if you don't finish, you can leave space, finish it later. After that, you share as a group. You can be as detailed as you want to be or like not share at all. Right. And then get feedback and reflective. I guess like you get reflection from the other people in the group and the group facilitator.
Okay. Now the facilitator, is it someone in the group or is it someone like outside the group?
Good question. I mean, I guess they're in the group as well. Like, for example, with like the art therapy, an art therapist usually runs those groups. So they will like give you prompts to like an expressive type of emotional regulation. Kind of making sense, like type stuff. So she gives you a prompt like, all right, today we're gonna draw how we gonna be drawing how we feel and stuff like that, like sadness and like happiness, you know, like just bring it out in a form.
So a lot of the prompts that people receive are mental health related?
Yes. Yeah.
And if you are an artist of any kind, does she give you direction like artistically, or you just draw however you can draw?
Yeah, you just draw however you can draw. Like, and the art therapists that I work with right now, they usually like just require like a pen and paper. So you can come in like full swing with like paint and everything, or just come in with like a pen and paper.
It's like, it's not about the skill. It's about just doing it. Yeah, like kind of saying, like hobbies, you know, like things that do make you happy.
Yeah, that's kind of the question I was trying to come up with, but I'm so great at asking them. I do cross-stitching myself. It's actually not cross-stitching from what I actually was told. It's more of like embroidering, which is a little bit more difficult than cross-stitching. And that is like my hobby that I've come to discover that has become a huge source of therapy for me. And at first, I didn't realize that it was. But it is very calming and peaceful. And then you have that reward at the end. So I feel like with your hobby app and whatnot, you can learn to dance. And then there's that reward where you can paint that picture. And then there's that reward. So I feel like just having that simplicity of that, that tranquility of drawing or doing the cross stitching like I do, but then having that final product, whatever it is, learning to hula hoop,
right,
you know, the learning that skill is also a reward in itself. So I love that you've come up with this idea.
Kind of going back to the hula hooping though, did you learn?
I did, yeah. Honestly, like, so here's what happened, actually. After I came up with all this with this idea and all that, it actually diverted me completely from hula hooping. So I basically I'm stunted to where I was when I started working on this.
Oh, no.
And it's been 2 years, so...
So basically, you can't hula hoop no more. Okay. What's the longest you ever kept the hula hoop up? I don't know. I get like 3 tries and then it's going to fall down.
Mine's a second.
I mean, okay. So actually, I can hula hoop, but, and I'm just stunted, but it's okay.
Yeah. You'll get back to it if that's what you want to do, right? If that's what you want to do, you will get back to it. I actually write a lot too. That's a big form of therapy for me, is writing. But I think it sounds like a lot of what you're offering is basically helping people get what they feel out.
Yes. Yeah.
And using something they like to do it. So it's like you're tricking them a little bit.
Yeah. That's literally exactly what the whole point of like alternative forms of therapy is, just to, when you can't see it, you know, and it's like stuck inside you. Also, like the other thing too that people find very helpful, especially with journaling, if you put your thoughts on paper, you know, and you keep like a record. Like, for example, like CBT type, blah, 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 I'm summarizing, cognitive behavior therapy type journaling, you like write down the, I guess, like the anxiety, what happened before the anxiety, like what triggered it and stuff like that, and what happened after, like how did you cope with it? And if you keep doing that consistently, you start to see like a pattern. And then from there, you can like make solutions, or you can even like come up with a plan before like you're in the same situation.
Right.
Stop it before it gets to that point.
Yeah. So now on the app, is it like courses that are at a certain date, time, or is it something that I can do whenever I just have the time to do it? Or
yeah, I mean, like, oh, sorry.
No, sorry, you're good.
No, yeah, like I said, it's at specific times in the month. I try to do at least each type weekly. So yeah, like every week there is one. And I'm trying to make it so that, so in the app, you can request classes with a mentor. So like, if you see a teacher that you're like, you know, this person is pretty cool, you know, I want to like work with them one-on-one, you can just message them and request a session with them. So there's a bit of making your own time, and also like there's scheduled sessions, scheduled group sessions.
Now let's talk about expanding your app. What are some of the areas you want to go into as you expand and as you grow?
Yeah. Right now, the main one I'm trying to work on is to make it a website available, like make all the functionalities in the app available on the website, because people don't like apps nowadays. I don't know, because of like the memory on your phone, you know,
right,
the space on your phone, people don't want to like deal with that, and the notifications.
It's like the government's tracking you, and they're like, they're doing that anyway, dummy.
Yeah, yeah,
like, don't you have a social security number? That's how they tracking you for real.
Yeah,
you know what I think would be really cool though on your app? Psychotherapy. So you should look into that. We actually have had some really, really good psychotherapists on our podcast. I don't think they aired yet, but they're going to, right? By the time people watch this, they have aired. And that's something that would be kind of cool on a hobby app. I mean, I don't know how you would fit it in, but I know I want to try it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to bark like a dog. I don't want that kind.
I don't understand how that would work as a hobby, though.
No, I know. I guess it wouldn't work as a hobby.
So it's just fine that you say that, because when I was doing the platform, like in the beginning, before I added the hobby aspect, it was like a mental wellness skill type. Because again, like, I think some of my mentors I've worked with for this, but someone asked me, so like, what type of people do you see coming to your app? And you have to have it, you have to know who comes into your app. And I found two different types of people. One was someone who, I guess, like probably goes to therapy or not, and has a hobby that they enjoy, and they want to explore that hobby as a form of like a coping skill.
Right.
And the other type of person was someone who had no idea about mental health. And I'm just like, oh, you know what? This was kind of cool. So they check it out. And then they like just land there. So I try to bring value to both of them. So someone who doesn't know how to cope in general, which is not about mental health, there's a topic or like a subsector called mental wellness skills. So this is where I work with like a life coach, life coaches, for example, or therapists too. And they show people like general coping skills. Okay. Like, for example, if you're having anxiety, just like the concept of like a pause and then take deep breaths, just stuff like that. So like there is a space for mental wellness skills that are not tied to a hobby.
Okay.
That's nice. Yeah. You know, so, I remember actually seeing that on your website now that you mention it. And I left my notes at work, and that was actually one of my questions now that you reminded me, was I wanted to know more about what that mental health, you know, option looked like. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, Rebecca takes notes on every interview and then never uses them.
Yes, I do.
He never uses them, right?
Well, I try not to, and then I look like an idiot because I try to pretend like I'm not reading them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a bad memory. I have a better long-term memory than I do a short-term memory. Like, if we had this interview 3 weeks from now, I wouldn't need my notes because I'd remember everything. Mm.
Oh, wow. It's interesting.
It's weird.
Yeah. She's weird. No, sorry. We don't use that word. Okay.
I mean, it's okay to be weird.
Yeah, it's okay. Weird and quirky.
No, no, definitely. I feel like everybody is crazy. So, Hamida, right? Hamida? Am I saying it wrong?
You're saying it wrong.
Oh, honestly, like, it's okay. Like, if you have an American accent, some people are going to come out as Hamida. So, it's okay. Like, I know. As long as you don't say, like, I don't know, like, Hamida or something like that, it's fine.
The I sounds like an E, Hamida.
Hamida. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a good way, Rebecca. Okay, school me real quick. Hamida. I got it.
I do everything phonetically. If somebody, like, if I were to write your name down and I knew what it was beforehand, I would literally have written it down with an E so that I knew that it was, like, phonetically, me.
Yeah, does it frustrate you when people don't pronounce your name right?
No.
It frustrates me because people always talk about Mika. And I'm like, it's do Micah. Okay. Mika. Can I speak to Mika? Like, nah, he don't live here. You know? But it's only because I feel like it's the most simple name
it's
ever.
It's frustrating to me when they call me Rachel. That's not even your name. I don't get how Rachel comes out of Rebecca.
It's R.
Yeah. Just saying.
Look, R and a C in there. But Hamida, I wanted to ask, how do you keep up with your own mental health, especially while trying to help everybody else with theirs?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I sleep. That's like one of the okay. things. That's my pause. Sorry?
So that's what I would be doing.
Yeah. So honestly, if I'm super stressed, the first thing I'll do, you know what? Where's the bed? I need to go and like, or like, where's the space? I can like literally just sleep. It's weird, but yeah, it helps because sometimes life can be super stressful. I guess like at work, I can't do that. So what do I do at work if I'm like super stressed? I take deep breaths, I guess, and do a lot of like affirmations, you know? Right. I'm like, you can do this.
Okay, so what's one of your favorite affirmations?
Huh?
What's one of your favorite affirmations? Yeah.
It's not really positive, you know, but I would just say anyways, it's like, I tell myself like everything that can go wrong will go wrong, but that's okay.
Right.
So that's what I usually repeat to myself. But things are going pretty bad.
It's not negative either. I think it's real. It's just real.
Yeah. Yeah. If you will be okay. Like it's not the end of the world, you know, but anything that can go wrong probably will go wrong. But
yes. I mean, your job has to be stressful.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine 100 of me.
Right. Oh, my God. If you got her as a patient, you would know I'm a saint. Okay. The Lord sent me down here himself and handpicked me to deal with his help.
Will you be trying to escape like every 5 minutes, Crystal?
She would.
All day today, all I heard is Micah. And I'm like, I can't even talk. Like she's making me work. You know?
We all work together at the same day job.
Yeah, we have the same day job and the same night job together. We're hoping that this night job gets rid of the day jobs. So I don't know who makes fruit roll-ups, but I feel like I promoted Ja enough. Offer me a deal. Okay.
What do you do for fun? For fun, I do a lot of art. Like a lot of painting. I like to watch. I don't know if this is specifically very fun, but I like to watch like a lot of like philosophy videos, like stoicism, and I don't know, like self-awareness type stuff videos. I have to hang out with my family, my friends, you know, go out, try out restaurants, new places to eat.
Yeah. I watched The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And because you don't got to think when you watch them.
He aspires to be one.
Yeah, I want to be, okay, I want to be the first male peach holder. I should be able to be that.
You should.
You haven't brought that up in a while, so I'm glad that you know, are sticking true to it.
Yeah, I gotta put it in there. You know, Andy Cohen might come by and, you know, see this episode and then want to work with you, but maybe he'll think about letting me be the first male peach holder.
Mm. No? That'd be interesting.
Yeah. I'm trying to get some thoughts. So, like, what you think? No, you don't think, you know, you don't think? Okay.
I mean, try it and see.
I'm like, you know what? First of all, for some reason, I guess you, I don't know why they say housewives when they're all single, but we'll talk about that another episode.
Sorry.
I actually haven't watched Real Housewives of Atlanta. I like Real Housewives of anything, really. But I will. Like, how badly would you say I watch it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Okay, I don't know. I think it's a 10 all the way, right? Like, I love that show. But I have my reasons. Number one, I feel like it's a place I don't have to think. I can watch it and not think.
You know, I don't handle the drama.
I don't have to put mental capacity to this. Like, it is what it is. These girls are going to be whatever they're going to be for this camera. And sometimes it's cool, right? But the second reason is because it drives my mom crazy. And I make her watch
it. They love each other 1 second. Then they hate each other. They're talking about each other behind each other. I mean, come on. I grew up a girl. I lived with them.
Like high school.
Look, yeah, I don't need it anymore.
High school was one of the worst periods. Everybody has time with high school.
The money they make for this bullshit. Sorry. It's one of my soapboxes. I'll get off it now. I'm good.
Okay, let's get back to hobby. And I think that when we get off this, you need to sign up and do some artwork or some painting. Okay.
Is there an age group for your app?
That's a good question.
Yeah, good question. So it's 18 and up. So so it was 18 and up for a while, and that was because the sign up for like the mentors, I guess, was more like an automatic thing, and they verified to like Stripe and stuff. But now I handpick the mentors that I work with, and I do checks on them too. So I still haven't started working with teenagers. Like, I'm still working with 18 plus people. But
are you planning on working with younger?
Yeah, that's
just because I have a daughter that's in high school, and was actually in season 2.5. She deals with a lot of bullying, and she loves art.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's the plan. Because like, when I was in high school, I wish I had a thing to go to after school, you know, or at least like twice a week. Yeah. And people who were also my age group, not like adults, you know, like people who are also teenagers, with someone who knew what I was going through, you know, like a professional to like guide all of us, you know, like a safe space, that would have really, really helped me a lot. So I'm hoping that in the future I'm able to do that, like schools or like the parents and stuff.
Right.
Maybe one even target young people, a particular bullying session for teens who are bullied or whatever, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
No, it is. And then they young people like apps, so your apps will be
My daughter has like her whole phone is an app.
And she's an artist.
Trying to give you ideas.
We're over here trying to give you ideas to take over your business.
Bring them coming. Honestly, like, keep them coming.
You know, I see it, and, you know, we looked at it, of course, you know, like we would do. You know, we have to research you. We can't just have you up here and don't know who you are, you know? But, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, like, how easy it would be to just, you know, be bored and get on the app and, you know, draw, even though I can't draw a stick man straight, but whatever.
He's got a lot of talents, but drawing isn't one of them. Okay.
Micah can't
have everything.
And yeah, singing.
Have it all.
I wish I could sing, girl. I wish I could be the male Whitney Houston, but I can't sing worth a lick. That don't make no sense. You got some singing courses? If now you got some singing courses, I will sing my trauma to you. You hear me?
That's a good one. I would sign up for that one. I can't carry a tune in a bucket either. So
And then we can make up songs about our mental health. Right. And sing about it.
Even if you can't sing, I think it would be amazing.
It would. That'll be dope. Okay, so when you get that, let me know and I'm going to sign up.
Okay.
But no, seriously. Okay, we're a bunch of nuts here. But is there anything that you want to tell audience, anything that you want to tell them about yourself and the app that you think is important that we didn't allow you to say because we're crazy?
I guess like the check it out, like feel free to check it out. One thing I should say is it's very affordable. So that was my whole goal for this, like to make it like have an affordable introduction to mental health or an affordable supplement to traditional therapy. And because each session is $5. So then you get session is $5. Or I just started
less
recently,
than a Whopper.
Exactly. You know, just sacrifice that Whopper and, you know, go to.
Right. And get your mental health
therapy. Yeah. Yeah. And there were free downloads too of one of the
podcasts.
Again, I wish I had my notes because I saw it. There was a free download of something on their workbook or something.
So there's a life coach I work with who likes to put like free workbooks in the app. So maybe that's what you saw. The app itself is free. The website is free. You can just literally just sign up and get the groups for free. It's just the sessions themselves that are $5. Or if you don't want to do that, people can do like $35 a month and you get 8 sessions. So it's like, either world, try to make it as.
And nowadays, the deductible is $80 for one session.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy that mental health care is so unaffordable. It's like you don't want us to do it. And that's why your app is important because it is affordable and it's dope. And we're going to promote the hell out of it because we think it's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah.
And, we always leave off with like a little silly question, right? So my little silly question is, it's really not that silly, but guilty pleasures. Guilty pleasures. What's a guilty pleasure? Something that you do like or watch that you think if people know, they would like laugh at you.
Oh, jeez. You know, if I say it, people are going to know, you know?
That's
how it
is. Yeah. It came to mind.
I was just going to say, mine was always Little House on the Prairie. People laugh at me every time I say that. So there you go.
And still laugh at her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will check that out. I haven't watched that.
This is like, don't do it.
It's so funny how you guys all don't like each other's shows. You're like, no, don't watch this.
I know. We have nothing in common, friends. But we all love each other. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We argue. We fuss, and fight.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah.
Sorry,
but you're trying to get out of telling your guilty pleasure.
Like, I know. I sideswiped.
You're trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, you caught on. Yeah. But,
you must be something really bad. You like the Spice Girls, don't you?
Oh gosh, no. And the Spice Girls are good though, like, you know. But my guilty pleasures are very embarrassing to say, but K dramas.
You like K dramas?
Yeah, I watch all
the
dramas.
All that reading, girl. I ain't got time to read and watch. I'm gonna do something. Yeah. So my cousin is into it's really not that bad. I know a lot of people in the K-dramas. My cousin, so my mom just had like heart surgery. So my cousin came to stay because I still, like, I work a lot. So my cousin came to stay with her. And the next thing I know, now my mom is watching K-dramas. They over there practicing Korean on each other. I'd be like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. Have you tried it? Have you watched the K-dramas? Because you might get hooked. And then it all makes sense.
But I really do have the issue with reading and watching. Oh, I see. So it's like I can only do one or the other. So if, you know, someone gets smacked, I'm going to miss why they get smacked because I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And of course, I meant read it, but reading is hearing, so.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, Micah. He laughs at himself, and it's funny watching him laugh at himself.
You know what? Yeah. You need to put me on your app and let me do a course, okay?
Actually, you know what's funny? I was searching for free sessions to put on the app because I tried to search and put them together. And I found this guy who does... I'll get a few from him. I didn't know that I checked out his class. But Eventbrite, he does laughing fit sessions. So his thing is that you go in the class and just laugh as a form of therapy. So.
Yeah, that is hilarious. Micah would be great in there. What? His laugh is infectious, and he can laugh at anything, especially himself.
I think everything is funny.
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm.
I had cancer, and I laughed my way through cancer. You hear me?
He did. Well, we've heard the story in Brenda's book.
It was pretty bad cancer, but I made sure I found time to laugh.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you have to.
It's either life is funny or God is funny. I haven't figured out which one yet. You know, I'm still on my emotional journey and my healing journey. So you on your healing journey, where are you at on that? Do you still got some ways to go? Look, I'm getting personal now, all right?
So recently I saw this video and they're talking about like healing journey, how it's not like, you know, like up and down. It's like you go in a circle. So it might feel like you're going backwards, but really you're like, it's like an onion layers. Like, that's how it works. And it makes sense. Sometimes I feel like I'm backwards or like forward, but really it's a different experience like every time because I've learned from the past experience. But where I am in my healing journey, it goes back and forth, honestly. I don't know, like... Right.
It's like you're still a work in progress.
Always a work in progress. You know, till death, you're all works in progress.
Definitely. But, and the reason I ask that question is for our audience, so that we're up here and we're giving advice and we're telling people your mental health is important. It's important to work on yourself. It's important to learn to love yourself. It's important to do all those things. But it's also let them know that I could say that. But yesterday I thought I was fat and ugly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you know, I believe it. I believe that I could be this positive person and I should be. Mm-hmm. And I believe in happiness in this lifetime. But kind of like you said, you know, it's like what can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just going to come out till the end of that laughing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But so... Any last minute words, anything that you want to tell audience? I think your app sounds amazing. It's dope. I can't wait to see where it goes. We're going to check it out. I mean, $5 a session. Incredible. If you need a session, we will pay for your first session. Okay. Reach out to us. Give you $5. And we're going to send you to the app. Now you got to pay for the rest of them. We just going to get you hooked. Any last minute views, words for our audience?
The last minute words that I would say is, I guess because I'm going off the last question for like the healing journeys, is what I said to myself a lot is, even if everything that will go wrong does go wrong, it's okay. And even if you like being handled the best way, it's okay. Just learn and move on. And life can be beautiful and scary at the same time. So I'm into it. Yeah, you can do it.
So true.
It's like one of those dogs that are ugly but cute at the same time. That's what life is like. So really dope. I know we brought up a couple of topics, sexual assault. We talked about suicide and rape and those kind of things. I just wanted to point out that if you're not safe and you're in an environment that you're not safe in, please make sure you get help. You can simply do so, but dial 911. Suicide hotline is #988, I believe.
Yes, 988.
Okay, yeah. I said it right. All right, cool. And then, but there are many methods, as many people out there, as many people that are willing to help. You can hit the Hobby app, right? And I mean, there's a method for you. Start to try. Let's get into that healing space. Let's get into that safe space. Let's get into that love space. So I just wanted to say that real quick. We thank you so much for being on. We look forward to seeing where your app goes. We're going to get you back on, of course, because I need you to tell everybody how I did the singing and how I was the best one in your class when you start that.
Okay.
Rebecca, any last words for the people, Rebecca?
I don't, but I too am looking forward to seeing where your app goes. I have a good feeling it's gonna do well.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And Crystal, go ahead and close us out.
Definitely keep in touch so we can see if, you know, it does go to a younger generation.
Yeah, because Crystal, like, she's about to sign all her kids up. All 18. Girl, one of them kids, as soon as you start working with your adolescents, just send her a text.
All right. Thanks so much for being on.
Yes, and we thank you guys for watching. Yeah. See you next week. Peace, love, and blessings, y'all.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you making the time.